In the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, this is not my sermon, so you don't even need to turn to it. Just take my word for it. God said, "Know those that labor among you who are over you in the Lord, and esteem them very highly for the work's sake." The Holy Ghost never exaggerates. If he said esteem them very highly, he meant what he said. And he didn't say to esteem them very highly because they're good preachers. He didn't say to esteem them very highly because they visit us often and are good friends. He said to esteem them very highly for the work's sake. And I've been in so many churches through these years. I was looking over my list this morning. I keep a log of every church that I have preached in at least once. And some of those churches I have preached in many, many, many times. And I was looking over the many churches that I've preached in, but there's one thing that stands out in my memory about the churches that are really progressive and getting something done for God. It's that church that honors their leader. There's no way for a church to prosper where the pastor and the people are crosswise. God said to esteem them very highly for the work's sake. There's another passage of Scripture in Galatians 6 and 6, very similar. It said, "Let him that's taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things." That means to share with that man of God that's our leader from the word, brings the word to us, share with him and all the good things that happen to us. Communicate with him. Now, God knew we would communicate with him in all the bad things that happen to us. Doesn't make a difference if it's 4 o'clock in the morning and the doctor has said, "That's all I can do for your child." We'll call the pastor. And we should do that. That's proper. That's right. And God knew we would share. If the husband's out of work and the bills are coming due, get on that telephone, pastor, pray. God will undertake. You know, we'll share any bad thing that comes our way. And God knew we would. And we should. But God instructs us to communicate and share with him and all the good things that happen to us. That means if God's blessed you with a victory garden, bring him a mess of black-eyed peas and do it before the bugs hit him. Good things, you know. Lady brought us a mess of turnips and greens one time. She said, "They was too gritty for us. We thought y'all might like them." That's the truth. Make him a pie. He doesn't need it. But God will bless you as you honor and as you have honored your pastors today. God will bless you for that. That's just God's way of honoring him and his family. We love this family. I tell you, I thank the Lord for them. Carolyn has worked, for me. I've worked for Carolyn now all of these years. And I thank the Lord for her life, not just for her efficiency. She's the best secretary that's ever been in that office. But I thank the Lord for her life. In all of these years, and believe me, we have worked very closely together. I have never in all of these years, Pastor Granberry, seen your wife do or say one thing that is the least bit off color. Right, I mean that. God said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Carolyn, you're worth more than rubies this morning. But don't ask for a raise. What? Because she's not one bit bashful, I'll tell you that. We love this family. We love these boys. God bless all three of these sweet boys. Amen. Don't take those two boys for granted that play in this church. My boys played the piano and organ for my church for years, and I don't know, it kind of seemed like that the church kind of just took it for granted they'll always be here. But honor those kids. They're the pastor's kids. And when you honor them, you honor the pastor. Because we're all built alike, every one of us. You bless our kids, you bless us. Amen. We love this family, and we're proud of this church. Proud of this church, this board, these associates, this beautiful choir. All of the wonderful friends that we have here. I wonder this morning, how many were in this church when Pastor Granberry came here in December of 1969? Would you stand? Let me see who you are. Stand up if you were here when... Look around, Brother Joe Paul. Amen. I want to see how many of you became a part of this church since he became pastor. Would you stand? Everybody became a part of this church since he became pastor. Amen. Glory. God bless you. Thank you. We're proud of this church. We're proud of our pastor here in this district. We thank the Lord for the missionary vision of Pastor Granberry and his wife and family. And I have 15 minutes left to preach my sermon in. So turn with me quickly today to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. We're so honored, church, to be a part of this service today. I've been in nearly all of the special services that you've had for Brother Granberry. I remember especially one time I was preaching one of the Christmas banquets. You know, Brother Granberry loves to laugh at me. He gets a great joy out just laughing at me. And I was preaching that evening, just getting underway real good, reminiscing about the early, how important Christmas had always been to me. We were a very poor family, but Christmas had just been special. From those childhood memories, it's always been very special. And somehow, I don't know how I did it, but somehow in the message I remarked that I said to the folks at that banquet, I said, you'll never know how important the Sears Roebuck catalog was in those days. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Granberry, and I realized after I'd said it what I'd said, and I held a straight face and just kept going, you know, but he wouldn't let me off the hook. He started laughing. He laughed so hard he had to lay his head down in his hands. And then all the deacons started laughing. And about that time, there was a fellow came in on the microphone. It was the CB-er came in on the microphone, said, hey, good buddy, you've been on this channel about long enough. And so I figured I had. They were still laughing, so I signed off. But we've been privileged to be in nearly all of these special services, and I'll tell you, I feel so honored. I feel so honored to be a child of God. I feel so honored to be a child of God this morning. Thank God for our wonderful Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, why would you say such a thing as that, Peter? Why would you write that to us? What about the one we're in now? What's going to happen to it? Well, that's why he said what he said, is because he had just said something about this one we're living in now. And so I want to back up with you and read some more from chapter 3. Backing up reminds me of another time your pastor laughed at me. I remember one of my first sermons, Brother Granberry, was probably along about 1969 or 70. One of my first sermons as a district officer, I was so nervous I couldn't hardly stand behind the pulpit anyway. And I said, let's all open our Bibles to the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians and let's read verse 10 through 4. And you could have heard him laugh 7 blocks away. There went my sermon again. You know? But let's back up from verse 13 and read verse 10 through 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Isaiah said some very similar things to us 2,700 years ago. He wrote in the 24th chapter of his prophetic book, he said the earth will be utterly broken down. He said it will be clean dissolved. It will reel to and fro like a drunkard. He said this earth, the transgressions are heavy upon it. He said the earth shall fall and not rise again. Now these things that Isaiah and the Apostle Peter spoke of are future events that will take place at the close of the seventh great dispensation, that dispensation of the millennium. Now as you know, the number seven is God's number of completeness, which tells us that God is through with this earth. He's finished with it. And all of these events are scheduled to take place at that time. For instance, to illustrate that seven number, there are 7 days, of course, in a week, there are 7 notes in the musical scale. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. And that's all. You start over again with another do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, and keep going to a higher scale. But Bach or Beethoven or Tchaikovsky or no one else, not even Dwayne Temple, can get more than 7 notes in the musical scale. God is the author of music. It's true the devil has syncopated and put a little oom-pa-pa in there and used it to appeal to the baser instincts of man. But music is of God. And I'll tell you, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you want to sing. When you get saved, you want to sing. Now, you might sharp some of those notes and flat them, but God put 7 in there, and you can't add to it or take from them. It's not complete without 7. The same is true of the 7 trumpets, the 7 seals, the 7 vials. The 7 great dispensations are complete, and God does have His economy organized in a beautiful plan, and there are 7 distinct dispensations in the Scriptures if you watch closely as you read. For instance, there was 1 dispensation which is so distinct from all of the others, when it was the will of God and the plan of God for people to go naked. The only problem is we're trying to do it in the wrong dispensation. But at the close of that great millennial time, when God's perfect plan for this world is fulfilled, it's been frustrated by sin. You can stop God's plan and frustrate it with sin for your life. And you can stop, and you can slow down or frustrate God's plan for the things that He has designed for us by doing things through self-will. And it's also true of God's plan for this world. And so sin entered into this world and God's plans were frustrated. But God in His wonderful economy had this millennial plan when men were going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Neither will they learn war anymore. But in all His holy mountain, nothing will hurt or destroy. Longevity will be restored. The Scripture said they'll lean on the staff for very age. A child being 100 years old will die. They won't reach age of accountability until they're 100 years old. Just think of the longevity. And the man's time on earth was once that way. But as sin began to eat away at his lifespan, the first thing you know, we're lucky to have that 70 in our day. But during that glorious millennial, when the Lord Himself rules with a rod of iron, you won't be able to hire Percy Foreman and get away with murder. The Lord Himself will rule with a rod of iron from a throne in Jerusalem. And we'll know the wonderful peace of the Lord through all that glorious millennial. And we'll live and reign with Him during that 1,000 years of peace on earth. And so God's will and God's plan for this earth will be consummated and fulfilled, and He'll be through with it. And The Apostle Peter tells us that the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. And seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved and melt with a fervent heat, what manner of man ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for that wonderful, glorious, glorious hope that we have, that God has promised us. As he said in the 13th verse, nevertheless then, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Brother Lenny, why are you telling us all these things are going to happen to this earth? Why are you dwelling on those negative things that are going to take place? Well, for the simple reason that there are an awful lot of people in this world, and sad to say, it's even gotten into the church, and if we're not careful, it'll get into our lives, that our lives can be wrapped up in the things that are right down here, and everything else takes a back seat. But I'll tell you this morning, if your life is wrapped up in the things of this world, you're wasting your life for something you cannot keep. You're wasting your life for something that has a very temporal value. You're planning for a crop failure. I put in my notes here, you're putting everything in a bag that has holes in it. Why not listen to the warnings of this book and start providing something that you can't lose? Glory to God. Something that has an eternal value. Start making a deposit in the bank of heaven. And don't wait till you're called to be a missionary to China. Start doing it this morning. Glory to God. Start doing it today. Let God become first in your life in every decision that you make. Consider God. The scripture said, in all thy ways acknowledge him. That means consider God before I decide to do this thing. Don't go ahead and do it and then ask God to fit into your plan. You don't plant cuckleburs and get butter beans. But God give us the grace, and God give us that anointing of the Holy Ghost to start taking advantage of those things that God sends our way to use them for his glory and for his honor. We don't have to wait till we go to China. We don't have to wait till we become an evangelist. We need to brighten the corner where we are. I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe if you're a child of God and love him with all your heart, God's put you where you are this morning to be used for his glory and his honor. And you'll rub elbows with people every day of your life that'll never see the inside of this church and maybe never the inside of any other church. But God has put us there to be their pastor and to be their missionary and to be their evangelist. God's put us there as ministers of God. I like that passage in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, we then as ministers, he wasn't writing to Assembly of God preachers, he was writing to laymen in that church at Corinth. He said, we then as in every way approving ourselves as ministers of God. When you wake up in the morning, realize I'm a minister of God, and I'm here in this place that God has put me for a reason. And it's not so I can make $1 million and retire. It's not so I can keep up with the Joneses. But God helped me to put something in the bank of heaven, because there's a better world than this one to come. My son Tim called the other day and telling his mom all of his bad news, all of his problems, all of his financial problems, mostly is what they always are. And he's got a good job. He has a good salary income. He just got a promotion, making good money. But he's been running from God for all these years. And every time he calls, his mom preaches him a little sermon. She said to Tim the other day, said, for heaven's sake, Tim, get to church tomorrow. Get in the house of God tomorrow and make a dedication to God so God can take you where you are and bless your life, and his blessings can rest upon your life. And she said, I'm going to call tomorrow evening and check and see if you went. We got in from church last Sunday night and say, let me tell you something. That message our pastor preached last Sunday night was one of the most important messages you'll ever hear in all your life. I know you've done forgot what it's all about, but that's one you should have remembered. The tremendous importance of our faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't care how much money you give or how pretty you are or anything else. Without keeping that confidence and that trust in God, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We got in from church last Sunday night after that great message, and then the telephone rang. And on the other end was my boy in Nashville, Tennessee, and Tim said, "Why didn't you call me?" The first time he's done what she told him to do in all these years, and she didn't call him to check on him. He said, "That preacher was telling us just how the cow eat the cabbage." And said, "Yolanda," talking to his wife, said, "isn't it true? He looked right at me when he said those things." She said, "Did you go to the altar?" He said, "No, but I should have." He called back yesterday. He said, "Hey, Mom," said, "there's five fellas from my job going to church with me tomorrow." Woo! Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may grind across the bar. I tell you, God's put us there to get something in that bank of heaven. That's what we're down here for. It's to live for God and to serve God with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength, and body, and everything else. Put it on the back burner. And I'll tell you, those things on the back burner will get blessed. Get them off that front burner. Get them back there where they belong. And God will honor them back there. Besides, you'll feel so good down deep in your soul. I'm doing something for God. Glory to His wonderful name. An account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. You want to know why God's put up with so much from all of us? That's what long-suffering is. You want to know why He's put up with so much from all of us? He's not willing that any should be lost. The Lord's not willing that any should be lost, but that all should come to a place of salvation. And so He suffered long. I'll tell you, if you and I had been running this thing, we'd have cut it off a long time ago. But God in His wonderful mercy, there's no way to describe the love of God. Much as I love my boys, and God to send His only Son to be spit on and cursed and blasphemed and crucified, there's no way to describe that kind of love. But God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's not a person in this building, I don't care how far you are from God or what you might have done, but what the heart of God yearns for you. If you knew this morning, I'm talking about the God of the universe that's going to shake everything that can be shaken. And He went on to say in that next verse, but we've received a kingdom that cannot be moved. I'm talking about that God, the God that created the heavens and the earth and is going to shake them and destroy them and bring down a new heaven and a new earth. That's the God I'm talking about this morning. If you knew how much His heart yearns for you this morning, who are away from Him today and all is not well between you and God, why don't you say with Brother Lenny this morning, "I've wasted enough of my life already. I want my life to count for God. I want the Lord to be supreme in my life. I don't want God playing second fiddle to something worldly or some job or some talent or some ability or some dream. I want God to be first in my life." Why not? Even as our brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things which are some things hard to be understood. You don't have to understand everything in the book. Just believe it. See, there he goes again. As also in all his epistles, speaking of these things, which some of them are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, they twist them, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. Why not follow the righteous? Why not follow good people? Fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. I wonder this morning if there are those with us today that will say, Brother Lenny, I've waited too long already and I've wasted too many of my years already. All's not well between me and God. And I fear God this morning. Fear of God's in my heart. There are things in my life that ought not to be there. I wouldn't want to face God in this condition. But there's a hunger in my heart to live for God with all my heart. I won't embarrass you. You forget about that. But let me pray with you. Is there one here who'll slip that hand up and say, Brother Lenny, pray with me. All's not well between me and God. I fear God this morning and I need God's help. Over on my right over here. I can't see all of you at once. Over on the right. Is there one anywhere here? Brother Lenny, all's not well between me and God. Or the center. Or my left. In the choir. Anywhere. I need God's help this morning, preacher. I don't care who knows it. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I need his help. Is there one here anywhere? Slip that hand up and say, pray with me, Brother Lenny. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Quit worrying about people. People are here today. Yes, I see this hand over here. People are here today and gone tomorrow. Brother Lenny, I'm tired of giving God the loose ends of my life, putting him in second place. I want God to reign supreme in my life. Because I believe that word, and I believe the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. I need God's help this morning. Quickly, raise that hand. We're not going to tarry it long. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Is there another one? Quickly, slip that hand up. All over this church. Yes, sir, I see your hand, sir. God bless you. Holy Ghost is certainly talking to us this morning. He's such a wonderful person. The Holy Spirit, so tender. Never push himself on anyone. You have to want him in your life. I want him in my life, Brother Lenny. Slip that hand up, put it right back down. Let me pray with you. I won't embarrass you. Forget about that. I want you to find what I found many years ago. Quickly, is there one more? I've waited too long. I've wasted too many years already. I need Jesus this morning. Quickly. Jesus. Please, God, don't let a one in this congregation be lost. Please, Father. Please, Lord. Reach down in your mercy, God, in your kindness. Please, Lord Jesus. Please, dear Lord. Those that raise their hands, Lord, you know them. You know their middle initial. You know all about them, oh God. You understand every one of them. There's some sitting here that didn't have the courage to raise their hand somehow. Lord, please, Lord, have your way in each of our lives today. Let the peace of God come into these lives. Let them come to know you, Lord, like you helped me to know you. We pray, too, for God's people that are in this church that have known you but may have drifted and are now kind of following you far off. They're not really walking with you first in their lives and their thoughts and their deeds. But Lord, speak to us this morning and help us to live as people of another world. For we know that this world is going to pass away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. Have your way now in this altar service, we pray, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Keep your heads bowed, please, for just a moment. I know I'm already 6 or 7 minutes past our lunch time. But it may be, Pastor, that some of these people really need to kneel in an old-fashioned altar to find the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So I'm going to ask Brother Temple to sing a verse of that beautiful invitational song. And I'm going to ask the rest of us to stand together all over the building. And I want as many as have time today, for a few moments before God, I want you to find a place to kneel and love him and meet with him today. Don't go through a Pentecostal ceremony, but kneel at this old-fashioned altar in the presence of God and meet with him. And let's tell him how much we love him. Come on and join me as our brother sings and leads us in this worship. Come on and join me in this old-fashioned altar this morning.